Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I had a dream last night. Or maybe it was a nightmare. That was the Steelers drafting Shedeur Sanders in the first round on Thursday night. It was clear, it was vivid, and that is what happened. And we will find out in a little bit over 48 hours if it becomes a reality. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan until 8:40 tonight. Pirates baseball on the air later on. Buccos are in L.A. with first pitch against the Angels at 9:38. Don't ask me why they play at weird times in Anaheim. I'm not sure. 9:38 is an odd one. They play two games at 9:38, then they play a game at 9:29. All in this series. I don't know. Maybe they want to get it exact and not just give you like a 7:10 or 4:05. Maybe they don't want to do that. Dan Zangrilli will have the North Shore Tavern leadoff show later. We will get into the Pirates later as well. And if this could be a daunting stretch, both for the team, but also for Derek Shelton, because it is not looking like it will be a nice little vacation out in Los Angeles. We will also chat with Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. Joe will have good insights on the two big-time Penn State prospects, two guys that I think should go in the top 10. One of them will go in the top 5 two nights from now, and some sleepers from the Nittany Lions going into NFL draft weekend. A read and react is ahead to what Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan said today in their pre-draft presser. And on that note, I want to start with the Steelers draft and back to this weird dream I had last night. Like I said, it was vivid. Sometimes dreams don't come across that way, but this was clear. I was watching draft coverage on Thursday night. After I'm done, by the way, right here on 93.7 The Fan, leading you up to the draft, of course. I'll have you until about 8:30 that night due to Pirates baseball. Another weird time. They play the Angels at 9:29 that night. And when the Steelers got on the clock at 21, they made their pick. And that selection was Shedeur Sanders. I say all that to say this. I said this could have also been a nightmare. And maybe for some Steeler fans, it would be viewed that way. Some would say it's an absolute pipe dream. I could have woken up in a cold sweat because I think this is a mistake waiting to happen. I do. And I'm not saying that this is the exact replica of Kenny Pickett all over again, because it's not, and he's not. I think that Sanders is the better player out of the two, but I think the similarities between these situations are present. Pickett was a one-year wonder at Pitt. He had that massive extra season. COVID benefited him. He had a historic run that put him on the Heisman stage by the end of it, and it got him drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round. When multiple QB needy teams decided they were good, hey, we'll just play with whoever we have. We don't want him that badly. We'll wait on next year because that's apparently a better crop. Now, that's still up for debate based on how Bryce Young and CJ Stroud have played. Now, Stroud, even in a down sophomore season, he looks like the real deal. And Bryce Young started to come around, I would say, in his second year. But that's what some teams did. Sanders did not have that same college career. His numbers every year, both at Jackson State and Colorado, are impressive. He put up good college numbers. The fact is, a lot of guys put up good college numbers. Case Keenum is one of the greatest college football quarterbacks of all time. And he's been mostly a career backup and journeyman. He had that kind of fluky, flash-in-the-pan 2017 season with the Minnesota Vikings, if you recall, that was highlighted by the Minneapolis Miracle. But look at his numbers. He was one of the most prolific college football quarterbacks to ever live. The Buffaloes also didn't win a ton of games the last 2 years. And I know that program has never really been, at least recently, viewed as a blue-chip program in college football, and he helped them get back to a bit of relevance. I think his dad and his teammate did a lot of the heavy lifting. Coach Prime always knows how to find the spotlight, and Travis Hunter was the best college football player last season. He was the Heisman Trophy winner, and he is a guy that can do great things on both sides of the football. He is maybe the best overall prospect in this draft, either he or Abdul Carter from Penn State. But his team wasn't setting sights on the college football playoff. They won 9 games last season. They got to the Alamo Bowl, and they got blown out. And Sanders did not play well. 208 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 4 times. That game was, I don't want to say a microcosm of his whole career, but he wasn't always great against the stiffest of competition. As the competition got more stiff to him in college, it usually didn't mean a big-time game was coming from Shedeur Sanders. Now, that wasn't an exact science, but he certainly had his games where he looked quite questionable. I think he can be a good quarterback in the correct system. I don't think he's the type of guy to break a system and become great regardless of landing spot. I just don't see anything super special about him. Maybe I'm missing something. That's always a possibility, But outside of his last name being what it is, I feel like I'm not really seeing anything special with how Shedeur Sanders plays quarterback. But I have seen the point made, and I tend to see the point. I won't say I necessarily agree with it 100%, but how much would we talk about him if his last name was Chedrick or Nelson or Smith? I do think it's a fair question. Because let's think about how the draft works. Quarterbacks usually get overdrafted. They are the one position, due to the weight that it carries, due to the importance that it has to team success, that is the one position that doesn't see a huge slide in the modern era of the draft. And by that, I mean sort of like the new, you know, the last CBA era, like the last 15 years or so, where rookie contracts aren't as onerous as they once were, which would explain if you're going to use a rebuttal and say, well, look at Aaron Rodgers, he slid. It wasn't the same back in 2005. It wasn't the same 20 years ago. Aaron Rodgers slid more so because at that time, the money that was likely going to a first-round rookie QB, you couldn't really manage to have that guy on your roster if you already had somebody on a fresh deal. Now, he ends up going to Green Bay where they have Brett Favre, but then again, Favre was hinting at retirement pretty much every year from 2004 on. But look at a lot of things going into that draft. There were teams that had recently drafted a quarterback. There were teams that had recently signed a quarterback, or there were teams that had quarterbacks signed to, at the time, big money. So that's a reason why, those are the reasons why Aaron Rodgers saw that slide to 24 all those years ago. That would never happen today. Never. If that was today, Rodgers would have likely been picked 2, 3, 4, or 5 after Alex Smith went at 1. Because the way it works now, it doesn't really restrict you from taking a quarterback if you already have one. Look at the bold move that the Falcons made last season, drafting Michael Penix about a month after giving Kirk Cousins a massive deal. And now they're trying to figure out what to do with Kirk Cousins. His name has been thrown around in Steelers circles. I haven't taken those comments too seriously because it seems like there are others that will be on the table, but I digress. QBs don't slide unless teams really don't see them as big-time prospects. In fact, they usually get selected around earlier than they should. You're going to see guys this weekend and think to yourself, oh, I didn't think that guy was going to go until the third round. But when there's not many early in the draft, like the first night, you will see that more in rounds 2, 3, and 4. Last year, you saw with a super loaded first round, 6 quarterbacks go in the first dozen picks. Then you saw that drop off all the way to round 5. You got Spencer Rattler. That was the biggest gap between quarterback picks, I'm pretty sure, in the history of the NFL draft.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
And on that note, if you ask most people who cover the draft, the pundits that pay attention to things every single day of every single season when looking at these college players, and I get it, they don't all bat 1,000. They would say that Cam Ward would be QB 6 or 7 last season, like right after Bo Nix, probably QB 7. And then after that, you'd get Shedeur Sanders as QB8. And there's some gap there. And think back to what I said a minute ago about the 2022 draft. There were a number of QB needy teams. They all passed on Kenny Pickett. They passed on a lot of QBs. Because the idea was that that QB class was weak. And it has shown to be historically weak. Outside of the final guy selected, Brock Purdy, who probably isn't as good anywhere else the way he is in San Francisco under Kyle Shanahan. You put him with some boy genius offensive mind, there's a few of those around the league, then the guy is pretty good. But it doesn't look great when things aren't all perfect around him. But what are we hearing now about this draft? And what are we hearing about Shedeur Sanders? The Browns don't want him at number 2. They will likely take his teammate, Travis Hunter. The Giants don't seem to want him at pick 3. They will likely have Abdul Carter at their disposal. Maybe they could trade back with a team and then they could take Sanders. Or one of these teams could trade back into the first round and get Sanders. The Saints, they really aren't sure what the future is like for Derek Carr. It's not going to be long, if at all. They pick 9th. And it seems like they are set with going forward with Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener. Now, we could see one of those teams surprise us, absolutely. But behind Cam Ward going first, there seems to be a bit of a gap. And it almost feels like the gap between Sanders and someone like Jackson Dart is closer than the gap there is between Ward and Sanders. Like, Cam Ward is far and away the number one guy. Far and away. I think Mel Kiper's the only person that is suggesting that Sanders is close or better than Cam Ward. But yet again, here we are. A number of teams that need a quarterback are now expected to pass on Shedeur Sanders. Kind of like what happened in 2022. and the Steelers took the bait. And now it feels like they are waiting to take it again. But don't worry, Mike Tomlin will coach him up in that high-powered Steelers offense. The Steelers will surely get the best out of Shedeur Sanders. Yep. Okay. Now that part, not really a knock on the player. It's more the lack of faith I have in their offensive coaching and firepower. They are going to take a guy, 21st overall, that will see some of his lucky college throws turn into interceptions. And he will take sacks trying to make plays or holding onto the ball too long. Kind of like the guy they just had this season. I also, and this isn't a slight at his entire character, but we did see last year some headlines about him going after teammates, going after offensive linemen. Are we going to look forward to him doing that to the Steelers' offensive line when he hasn't done a single thing in the league? I'm sure that there are people that are convinced that this will work and they'll just blame the offensive line for all of the troubles anyway. Not that they're blameless, but they are far from the problem or the biggest problem in this organization. And if you want to call in and tell me I'm dumb or I don't know ball or whatever we do in 2025 or I don't know how the draft works, be my guest. You know the number, 412-928-9370. I love going back and forth with people about the draft. I could always be wrong. I've been wrong 100 times. I'll be wrong 1,000 more times. I think that's kind of the beauty of the draft, the crapshoot that it is. I mean, I was a guy that was bought in on Kenny Pickett. I was in a bar cheering the night that he got picked. Maybe I was blinded by the fandom for the guy since he did a show on this station or by where he played college football. That's the business we work in. People don't get everything right. And if someone tells you they do, they're a liar. It's kind of like baseball. If a guy hits 300, he's doing a pretty good job. And notice I haven't even really brought up the involvement of Shedeur's dad, of Deion Sanders, because I do think that point that gets made a lot is a tad overrated. Because Coach Prime, he's got enough of his own football to worry about, but I can see why people have those concerns. He's going to be buddy-buddy with Mike Tomlin, and it does make me wonder if Tomlin will let Deion get in his ear. And then we could be working toward a combustible element of Aaron Rodgers mixed with Shedeur Sanders, if that all comes to pass. Because the Steelers still seem to be quite confident that Rodgers will end up here when it's all said and done, and that he won't choose retirement. It does make me wonder if any of that changes if they do draft Shedeur Sanders. Not that I'm saying the organization or the team should bow down to Aaron Rodgers, although they're doing a pretty good job of that already. But if I'm Rodgers, if I'm putting myself in his shoes, and I see the Steelers draft a quarterback in the first round, maybe I'm questioning if it's worth me going to Pittsburgh. Because what if Rodgers doesn't want to just play one more season? Yeah, he may sign just a one-year deal, but maybe he wants to play for 2 or 3 more years. Maybe he wants to go the Brady route and play until he's 44 or 45. That would leave me wondering, well, if they just drafted this guy in the first round, they're kind of looking for a reason to pull the plug on this at any time. And they probably will. I don't know. That's usually the theme of the draft. I don't know as much as the next guy. And that guy doesn't know as much as the guy next to him. I'm just giving my opinion on all of this. But I don't think Shedeur Sanders becomes a star in Pittsburgh. 412-928-9370. Do you want the Steelers to draft Shedeur Sanders on Thursday night? 21st overall, 412-928-9370. Is it a mistake if they pass on him? 412-928-9370. Is it a mistake if they pick him? 412-928-9370. I want to hear from you coming up next. We are just over 2 days, two full days. We're about 47 and a half hours away. Or no, I did my math wrong there. We're a little bit over 48 hours. We're like 49 and a half hours away from the 2025 NFL Draft. And by the end of that night, will Shedeur Sanders be a Pittsburgh Steeler? 412-928-9370. You can also hit us up on our fan text line at that same number. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Your calls up next right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Join Adam Crowley and True Fan Travel for a once-of-a-lifetime adventure to Ireland when the Black and Gold play across the pond this fall. 5 nights in Dublin. That includes tours of Guinness and Jameson, a pregame tailgate party, game tickets, and more. Hotel and air or land-only packages are available. For more information on how you can take over Ireland with Crowley, go to 937thefan.com. You can find that on our homepage. 412-928-9370. The draft is 2 nights away. I will be on the air that night from 6 until about 8:30, leading you up to the NFL draft mostly. We may get a pick or two in before I have to sign off. Yeah, we have Pirates baseball that night on the air, so it will not be a full night of draft coverage like it has been in years past. And the Steelers are linked to a quarterback, not any quarterback, the son of a pro football legend, Shedeur Sanders. Will they take him at 21st overall? Do you want them to take him? Is it a mistake if they pass on him? Or is it a mistake if they pick him? 412-928-9370. Al kicks us off. What's up, Al?
How are you?
Good. What do you got for me?
Totally against the quarterback in the first round. Need to build up the defense. And here's my question. What happens if Cam goes down and we're drafting a quarterback at number 21? We're hurting. We're dead. Let's build up the defense. Let's get another running back in here, and let Mason or Icon Aaron Rodgers take us to victory. Now, let me give you another idea, if I might.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yep.
Okay. Right after Tomlin signed his 3-year contract, I cashed in my communion money. I had made a lot of great investments, and I bought the Steelers. Now, bear with me. I am now the owner of the Steelers 9 months ago, but I have to honor Tomlin's contract. Very first thing I do, I make a offer that Marcus Freeman can't refuse or turn down. I make him head coach in waiting. And the last year the Tomlin's contract is in effect, he sits with me up in my private box, and Marcus Freeman runs the team, and now I've got great succession planning. This kid is going to be the future, and he's going to be a hot item after next year. So, therefore, I hope I answered your question. I am not in favor of any quarterback, let alone Shedeur, in the first round.
Al, I appreciate the call. I would argue that Marcus Freeman is already one of the hot commodities around football. He just decided to stay with Notre Dame after a season in which his team was the national runner-up in college football. But I think he will continue to find himself around the head coaching circles in the NFL a lot more as the years go on. And to your point, I'm on your side in terms of what happens if Cam Hayward goes down there in trouble. And yeah, that's something that needs to be accounted for, and that's why I think there are three pretty notable defensive tackles that I think fall right into their range. They're not going to be able to get Mason Graham. That would take a fall from like the top five all the way down to 21. He has been mocked to Jacksonville mostly pretty much from the start of mock draft season. But you have Derek Harmon. You have Kenneth Grant. You have Walter Nolan. I think any of those three guys would be good picks. And any of those three guys, I would feel good about placing in that defensive line. You work with Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton, and it feels a lot better right away. I also think they should double up at defensive tackle, but maybe that's just me. It's a pretty deep class, that's for sure. The second annual Fan 5 Alarm Marathon, that's presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. That will take place on June 5 and 6. This year, the broadcast will take place at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. We are currently looking for 25 fire departments that will benefit from this year's fundraising. Register your department now at 937thefan.com. Brought to you by Aircraft Management Group, Firehouse Subs, 1-800-BOARD-UP, G.S. Jones Restoration, National Fire Sprinkler Association, and Guardian Protection. 412-928-9370. Mike is in Arizona. Now he's on the Fan. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Don. Big fan of the show. So I think I'm all in on drafting Shadur or just a quarterback at 21 in general. Now, I won't be mad if they take a defensive tackle either because they do need one. But here's the thing. If you draft a quarterback and they are good, which he could be good at 21. I mean, Lamar was drafted at 32. Mahomes and Allen weren't the first quarterbacks taken in their draft class. He could be good. Then you finally have your young quarterback that you can build on, which we haven't had since Ben. If he sucks and it's a disaster like Pickett again, I think that's finally the thing that would push Tomlin out. That would be two first-round quarterbacks you miss on and can't develop. In two more years of I think that would be the logical time for a new regime and a new coach, and I think that also would align with his contract being up. So that's my take. I think it could work out. We need a quarterback. We need a good young one. If it doesn't, it's a pretty good indication Tomlin can't develop an offense or a quarterback.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Mike, and I don't have a lot of faith that he can develop a young quarterback and a modern-day offense. He doesn't have any evidence to prove that he can. He has as much evidence as I would if I said, you know what, I think I can turn this guy into a franchise quarterback. When he was here, he already had an established franchise quarterback. Now, maybe that guy's best years were under Mike Tomlin, but he also only spent a couple of years under Bill Cowher, in which he won 14 games as a rookie, and then he won a Super Bowl in his second year. We have not seen any of this work post Ben Roethlisberger. The plan has been awful. So I get taking another bite at the apple, maybe. It also just concerns me when we see quarterbacks slide, because I mentioned earlier, that's the one position you do not really see slide in the draft. They often get overdrafted, and people will tell you that middle round quarterbacks or maybe a guy in the second round, a team will trade up into the first and get him. Like, they normally get drafted a round early or a half round early. And they are watched under such a microscope compared to every other position that when most of the draft chatter out there is, yeah, this guy's more like a top 30 player, but he's not going to be a perennial all-pro or bring titles to the franchise, that does worry me. a little bit. 50-minute mark on the Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township. 412-928-9370. Rich is out there. What's up, Rich?
Hey, how you doing? Listen, let me first start by saying I'm not pretending to be Adam Schefter or Mel Kiper or any of these guys, but I was fortunate enough to coach a kid up here in Maryland that ended up being drafted 4 years ago by the Falcons and still on their roster. And through that process, I met several scouts and personnel people who would come to the school, mm-hmm. ask about his background, and I became pretty good friends with one scout out of respect for him. Again, not pretending I'm some big insider. I won't mention the team or that he works for, mm-hmm. But I've seen several times that Sanders have been mocked to this team, which they do draft after the Steelers, and I was speaking with him today, and he was laughing that I could put everything in my bank account that he's not even on their draft board, okay? So that's what this organization, who's been very successful and has a Super Bowl win, think about Sanders, and I'm totally with you. At some point, you, what's the difference between 7-11 and 9-8 or whatever the math is? I'm a PE guy, so you got to excuse me if I'm not doing the math correctly. But you know, in speaking with him, he said it would be an absolute debacle and an awful, awful pick for the Steelers. And this is a well-respected organization that doesn't have Sanders on their draft board. So think of that. I mean, what I'm telling you, and I trust what the guy's telling me.
Yeah, Rich, I appreciate the call, and call back anytime, especially if you have some intel like that. I mean, that's an interesting nugget. That also takes me into the desire for me. I would love to be like a fly on the wall in a team's war room on draft night. Like, I would love to hear those conversations, would love to hear where they are on a player. I nerd out over it that I will go back and watch the old, like, I think they're called Caught in the Draft specials. Like, you could find some of them on YouTube. They usually air on NFL Network, like they're NFL produced. And it gives you like some of that insight and conversation that was had before a particular pick was made. Maybe a team passed on a future Hall of Famer, or maybe a team picked the right guy and the other guy ended up being a bust. I love conversations like that. I mean, I find the 1998 draft to be pretty interesting, because a lot of that, after the two quarterbacks went at the beginning, Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf, talk about two completely different careers, but they were picks 1 and 2. The whole conversation is about Randy Moss. How far will he slide? The off-the-field issues. Teams don't trust that he can stay out of trouble. He eventually gets taken by the Vikings, and the man has one of the greatest careers of any wide receiver in league history. 412-928-9370. Chuck is on the Parkway. What's going on, Chuck?
What's going on this evening? Hey, seems that your focus is on Shedeur Sanders. Any thought maybe that the Steelers go the Jackson Dart route when it comes to quarterbacks, more fitting to their style, maybe someone like Aaron Rodgers to mentor after the Steelers sign him a week from today? But it seems the focus is on Shedeur Sanders. I'm more of in the Jackson Dart camp.
Chuck, I appreciate the call. I think there's a small chance of that, because I'm never going to say zero unless it was a position or a player that made absolutely zero sense. I'm not going to say there's a 0% chance that happens. That would be, to me, that would have to be like a trade back scenario for them, because like we were saying, it is coming across that outside of Cam Ward, this is a pretty weak QB class. You have Ward, you have a pretty big gap. Then you have Sanders. Then you have Dart. And then you get into like Tyler Shuck and Jalen Milroe and Will Howard and McCord and Ewers. And I have said over the last couple of weeks, I would just wait until either that pick on late night two or maybe that first pick on day three and take a guy there. Now, I can't say for a fact who will be there, but I'd rather just take some sort of flyer on a player there, because the other difficult thing about this, they go from pick 21 to pick 83. They have a 62-pick gap. You have to hit on this first pick. This has to be a good player. A really good player, because you do not have that pick now in the second round. That's also why I am never against the idea of moving back and acquiring more picks, but it seems like next season, next draft, they will have all the picks in the world that they want. 412-928-9370. Melvin is up next. What's up, Melvin?
Yeah, I don't know. I would say I wouldn't be mad if they took a defensive tackle or a quarterback, but I don't understand how anybody would not want them to take a quarterback. As bad as we need a quarterback, that's the position that I feel like we need the most. Our defense was not that bad last year, you know? So I would rather take a defensive player in the second round than in the first round. If there's one of those quarterbacks available, I would take them. If it's a miss, and it's a miss, then we got to draft another one. I would draft a quarterback every year until we found a quarterback. That's how I feel right now.
Well, Melvin, I mean, I'm not like saying that that's a stupid strategy, but what makes that difficult, because there are plenty of people that agree with you and they would say, yeah, keep taking a shot until one works. You mentioned there, yeah, I would draft a defensive player in the second round. A little bit of a problem. They don't have a second round pick. I would also feel a little bit better about this whole situation if they did. I wouldn't be so against it. I just have a hard time seeing Shedeur Sanders becoming a star in Pittsburgh because of what they have around him. And it is tough to do. It is tough to use a first round pick on that. At least to me it is, especially when you don't have a pick in the second round and you're going to wait until late night two before you make your next selection. Puts a lot of pressure on how good those picks need to be. 412-928-9370. Mr. Old School is with us. What's up, Old School?
My man, what's going on, Donnie? Hey, I would love to go. Here's my order. I would love to go defensive tackle, running back, and then take a flyer on a quarterback if one's there, and do the Tommy Maddox year with Mason and try to get one that we really, really want if the fourth rounder doesn't pan out. Now, I was listening to Maurice Jones-Drew today. Listen, Donnie, to his order of running backs. He got it listed as Gentry 1, Henderson 2, Scadaboo 3, Judkins 4, Giddens 5, Harvey 6, and Hampton 7. Now, you know the Steelers are in love with DJ Giddens. I would love to get DJ Giddens in the third. And, well, I heard Harmon got some medical problems. That came out today. But I would love to get Kenneth Grant and then Giddens in the third, and then go for Shutt or one of the other guys, Milroe in the fourth.
Wait, Old School, I just want to make sure, too. I was listening to you list those running backs. Did you say he had Omarion Hampton at 7?
He has Omarion Hampton at 7. Here's what he said about him. He said Omarion Hampton, the problem with him is when he has to stop. He said if he gets a straight line running, he's a powerhouse. But if you watch him, and he showed the video, when he gets hit and has to stop and change direction, he has a hard time getting back up to speed. And that is not going to work for certain teams like the Steelers. He even mentioned them. He said, you know, he has a hard time cutting and then starting back up and getting back up to speed. So, yeah, he had him 7. He said he's going to get a lot of flack about it. He said, man, I've been playing running back for a long time, seeing running backs for a long time, and I'm telling you, this guy is not better than these guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mr. Old School, as always. Man, well, that's a little bit concerning because I've seen him connected to the Steelers in a few mocks. It is starting to become Shedeur Sanders as the most popular. Some still have a defensive tackle, but I've seen O'Marrion Hampton thrown around there. Now, I mean, seventh